Okay, I can see myself. Can I have the roll call, please?
Yeah.
Here.
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 Rafferty.
Here.
Here.
Here. All right. We had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I move you approve the minutes as submitted.
Second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of January 16th, 2019. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Minutes are approved. Okay, welcome everyone to the Plan and Zone Commission for February 20th, 2019. We are a recommending body appointed by the mayor and city council to review matters relative to zoning and such. And I see there's a pretty good number of folks in the audience tonight. So if you have input on a particular case, when we get to that case, I will at that point recognize the folks in the audience and ask for your input. And if you would go back to the podium at my right and your left and provide your name and interest in the case, we would love to hear what you have to say. So thank you for that. And then our next agenda item, we have the annual report. And is that you, John, or who's going to, Chris, who's providing the annual report?
I hope it's John.
John. Chris, why don't you give it a try tonight? Yeah.
John will do a better job.
Well, you've all had a chance to review it. Was a good year, actually, with all the developments that have gone through. I think Lisa did a great job of compiling the report again this year.
Thank you, Lisa.
Don't want to give her too much praise, though.
Okay. Yeah, it was a busy year. I think just from a commission standpoint, there were a number of cases, and we've said this on the record before, John, that staff's done a great job in working with the applicants to come to more reasonable solutions that work for all parties. So we look forward to that again in 2019 and all the efforts you guys put in. So appreciate that. Thank you. And then the last agenda kind of item before we get into the cases is the election of officers. So do we have any motions or proposals relative to elections of the officers?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
We have to approve the annual report.
Oh, sorry about that.
He's trying to get fired.
Want to get me fired? Okay.
With respect to that, I will move we approve the annual report as submitted.
Thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate that. We have a motion to approve the annual report. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the annual report. All those in favor accepting the annual report, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The annual report for 2018 is approved. Now we'll move to election of officers. So do we have any motions or comments with regard to officers?
No comments, but I would like to make a motion that we keep the present structure of our officers intact.
And I would wholeheartedly second that motion.
Okay. Any other discussion from the commission?
Sounds good.
Nominations, questions? Okay, we have a motion and a second to keep the current structure in place. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We're keeping it another year. Okay, with that, we'll go to rezoning case number, or item six on the agenda, 190111. John, any post production comments on that after the data came out? John?
Which case are you inquiring about?
190011 rezoning.
Just I would state that the well, the statement you just made, we like to ask the developer before they even get to you to have a neighborhood meeting in cases such as this. They certainly did just that. They had a room reserved out at Surrey Heights Fire Station, had a very nice turnout of the neighbors, had a very positive reaction to what their concept is for this parcel.
Great.
So we appreciate them doing that.
Yeah, great, great. All right, Greg, with that, we'll take your comments, please.
Mr. Chairman, this site can be approached by coming up Devil's Glen Road, and then there's Forest Grove Drive. And then the intent is to have two different levels of entry into this parcel that's being proposed for rezoning. A portion of this is in UMI right here, And then a remaining portion, the dog leg right there, is in ULI, both of which can facilitate a rezoning to the R2 designation from A1. And you can see it's about 37 acres, a little more than that for the entirety. And then essentially this area over here is ULI. This is UMI right here. The proposal is for 64 lots to be platted throughout this site, and there's a means of entry here. You have a waterway area through here that divides the two areas of access, and then you have a means of access off of Forest Grove Drive. There will be connection into the adjoining subdivision here with that parcel over here already being developed, or this entire area. Staff, in looking at this proposal, just as any other rezoning, would ask that the commission consider the surrounding area and the land use classification definitions in making a decision to approve the rezoning. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission, please. I have one, Greg. Then on the lots, and it's a little hard to read. I think it's lot 30 and, or is it 20 and 21 mm-hmm. that end up in that little flag over there on the west side? Is there some kind of bridge that goes across there? Or what topography? What does that look like going across over there?
I believe the developers are in the audience. You might want to,
Mr. Chair, I can answer that for you.
Yeah,
we constructed a regional detention basin right in that area three years ago now. So they would be driving along the top of the detention basin, which currently has a roadway. So they'd have to maintain that for our access to that portion. And then I think Steve may have a fire lane requirement, but basically it would be a slightly wider shared driveway between those two lots. Otherwise, we would have landlocked that portion of the property.
Okay. So with the fire trucks, Steve, we're okay getting back to those two lots?
We'll work with them on our needs there.
So. Okay. Others from the commission?
Do they plan to build on those two lots with this current development?
I believe so. I don't know. Obviously, we don't have phasing yet on how they'll final plat it, but yes, there will be two single-family homes back there.
There's possibly at the neighborhood meeting some interest already in those lots that perhaps they won't be built on. So there's a couple options. The structure is actually placed there by the city, so we have to make some accommodation for them to get back to their land.
Okay. Others in the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Okay, I'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question. This is a rezoning, so this doesn't really pertain to the zoning. It pertains to the plat that we have here. There's a lot of single-family homes right up against Forest Grove there. Forest Grove is going to be four lanes at a fairly high rate of speed. I know there's a 40-foot buffer. At least I think that's what it says on the plat, the 40-foot berm. I would have to say that if this goes through like that, that would be something that I would be interested in seeing maintained.
And I saw a note, and there's a note on the plat at a 3-to-1 slope I noted on there, which makes it manageable from a maintenance standpoint.
Correct.
I'm getting nods. And I'm thinking, is it three lanes, one in each direction with a center turn lane out there? Is it going to be four?
It's
some
built
point
wide enough to go to four lanes
someday,
potentially, same as we've done on 18th
okay.
Street and Tanglefoot. So if the four lanes is ever warranted, it could be restriped.
At that juncture there, it's improved as it will be for the foreseeable future now.
Yep, that's the brand new roadway section through there.
And to Paul's point, does that berming match pretty much what's at the next subdivision to the west then? The Copper Ridge?
So the Copper Ridge actually sits quite a bit higher than Forest Grove at that point, but they do have pretty substantial landscaping there to the east. I don't think the Bucher Edition has a berm sure. through there.
Okay, yeah, that's open backyards through there, and that's mm-hmm. not been redeveloped for the roadway yet.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So, Paul, were you thinking just from a plat standpoint? Or
the thing that, this is over 20 acres. So, you know, we have the what do you call them, the DCAs, that we could ask this to be used instead of a traditional zoning. If we did that, then you could have a potential use of multifamily or something like that, more of a buffer along 53rd, rather than having single family right up against, Forest Grove, rather than have single family all the way up to Forest Grove. It would give you some more flexibility. And that's, I'm also concerned about what happens on the other side of Forest Grove. That's going to be perhaps something, you know, who knows, but it's got the highway on the far side of that, which may lend it to be more commercial or a higher density than single family. So what I'm afraid of is this is going to be all zoned R2, and then 3 years from now we're going to be back in here trying to divide up something to get us, you know, to provide some kind of buffer up against a road
all
and
the
other
development will be here
mm-hmm.
not happy about what's happening across the road.
So that's my fear. Now, this might be too late because we've got some developments further down towards Betplex that already have single families up against Forest Grove. But that's my concern, and I thought we would have a tool here to kind of help us manage that if we went to a DCA rather than just a straight R2.
But if you look at what's already been developed to the east and the west, they both have single family butted right up.
On the south side of Forest Grove.
Right, on the south
right.
side.
And then we got some more single family going on the north side of Forest Grove a little farther to the west.
Farther to the west. Mm-hmm.
But your point's valid that it could, if it changed, I understand that,
but
yeah.
Well, if you look at the land use map, the parcel that we're looking at is designated exactly the same as what's across the road
mm-hmm.
right now.
Yes. Yes. Which
down here
is
the west end,
which is amenable to this development. It's amenable to R1 through about R3, I think, and then C1 or C2. So I mean, it's the right land usage.
Mm-hmm.
I have no real objection to the zoning, other than the fact that I'm concerned about what happens right along Forest Grove. That's why, if we do approve R2, we make sure that when we come in here with platting, that we have a substantial berm up against that road. That was my point. Was the Greg, were the DCAs contemplated by the developer? Do you know?
I don't know.
I can speak to that. I'm Adam Seitz with Advance Homes. We did not consider any other zoning classification other than R2, but it is our intention to have a substantial berm there that would match all of our other subdivisions that we have in the city of Bettendorf that have the proper bank sloping and things like that, so they are mowable and able to be maintained. But that is our intent on that whole corridor.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I might just add a little bit to it. It's my reading of the ordinance that a DCA is not required or mandated. We also did speak at one of our last workshops that there is, under the new ordinance, even in a non-DCA, at the site plan stage, the ability to look at compatibility issues, which is sort of a DCA concept at the site plan stage. So that's my read of the issue. So in terms of berming and transition to other uses, that might be something to consider.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good. Anyone else from the commission? Anyone else in the audience, last call on that then? Nope. Staff? All right. Do we have a recommendation for 19011?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of case 19-011 as submitted per staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 19011 per staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. 19011 is approved. Okay, thanks. Takes us to 19009. John, any updates on that one since publication?
No, I don't believe there is. Report states it pretty well. there's been some slight variations from the original concept plan, as was anticipated. I remember the developer, when he addressed you for the rezoning there, anticipated that perhaps those four middle buildings that were shown in the original concept, that they might be amended for having fewer buildings, and then one perhaps going to be an assisted type structure for the retirement home, or perhaps an Alzheimer building or something like that. And I see they have reduced the number of lots in the middle, so there's probably some anticipation of that happening in the future. The overall concept is very much like what you got from the very beginning, however. Okay.
All right.
And great. I believe they mentioned that at the last time they spoke to you.
Okay. Thanks, John. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, last evening, the area outlined in red, the whole parcel, was zoned from R5 and R3 over to urban medium intensity. So that zoning has been approved for the entire parcel. And this is the initial plat showing the entry and the circulation running through here. You had anticipated a single family along many of these areas, and then a vacant lot, or should say an open area. You've got this pipeline easement with the pipeline in it running right through the eastern third of the parcel. And then you had multifamily and then townhouses that were anticipated along with duplexes here. These lots pretty much have remained the same, even though there is some boundary change, I believe, between these two lots right here in the multifamily. But for the most part, the majority of the change is occurring up in this area here with this preliminary plat. You've got two commercial lots that are anticipated for building here. Multifamily in this area, the center for caregiving, and you have a street that truncates and ends here in terms of our responsibility and then makes its way up through here into the cul-de-sac that will still be public. This is going to be a private drive in throughout this area right here. At the same time, you still have these buildings that are in the area. You have a reconstituted detention area here, and essentially you're seeing a plat build out according to what the zoning as a mixed use indicated. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission, please. I have one. The second drive to the south, will any of that drive be city, or is that all private drive?
This is all private.
That's
right,
all private drive. Okay. Others on the commission? Nope. Okay. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Yes, sir.
Good evening. Brian Belk, Axiom Consultants. We're the engineer on this project and representing the applicant as well. And really just here in case there are any questions I believe Greg described all the changes that we're looking at. But again, this is in line with the preliminary plat originally brought to the Good Neighbor meeting, as well as throughout the rezoning. But if there are any other questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Although, thanks for doing the meeting. We see those to be very productive, number one. Number two, the spirit of this really fits with the dynamics in zoning and land use and desire of the kind of development we want to see. So appreciate the efforts in that line, because it's a little bit everything. It's the right place to do it, and looks like a great development overall. So appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else in the audience with regard to that case? No? Come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval. Case 19-009, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 19-009, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. 19-009 is approved. Thanks. Okay, John, that'll take us to any comments for 19-012.
I think you're going to recognize this. It's almost a mirror of the concept that you saw originally. I don't know if engineering has anything to add either.
No, no additional changes.
No, guess we don't have anything for you.
Good. Great. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, this site is accessed vis-a-vis Criswell, and there will be this type of design, a street going through. The connection, given this rugged nature of this area, no connection was ever really anticipated recently to bring this parcel into any type of 53rd Avenue connection arrangement with the street running down here eventually to Crow Creek. It's all R2 now that it's been rezoned, and essentially the concept, this showed 82 lots. When you get to the final plat or the preliminary plat, you're now looking at 80 lots in terms of that reduction. You pretty much have the same street structure going through, accessing the adjoining parcels to the north and south, and then you have the looping mechanism right here creating connectivity for the lots that are within the parcel. And you also have these detention outlots to help deal with the stormwater issue for the site. Staff in reviewing the proposal would recommend approval with the conditions that were listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions or comments from the commission, please?
Mr. Chairman, I do have one question, Greg. So these three lots, A, B, and C, the outlots for detention, they're commingled in with all the other houses. Is there going to be any information about how they're maintained or how that will be handled?
That would be through the homeowners organization, the obligations, and then there could be some verbiage if staff feels the need to have an agreement or something where they sign up essentially and they understand as a homeowner going in what the conditions are of paying into that homeowners organization to maintain these outlots.
We always require a final plat note that'll state the ownership and maintenance as well.
Okay.
That'll be a requirement of final plat.
Okay, because originally there were just two, and now a couple of the lots in the preliminary plat are now outlot C, so we have a pretty interesting mixture here of outlots. I think that's important. Thank you.
Anyone else on the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Guys got me really guessing. You're all out there and nobody's got any questions so far, so okay. Okay, great. Go ahead and step back to the podium. Thank you.
I'm Linda Purcell and I live on Criswell. And I just want to know how are you going to go on Criswell to build all these homes?
The developer's nodding. He's behind you, apparently a representative of him, so.
I would just like to know, because Chriswell's has a lot of cement trucks on it already, and it's disintegrating really bad.
And I believe Chriswell is the only point of access for this subdivision, so the answer to that would be yes, that all the traffic, construction, and home-wise would be off and on Chriswell.
Yes. So what Chriswell are they going to... Chriswell is scheduled to be reseal-coated this year. The issue we have with putting that into a long-term reconstruction project is that we only own half the road. The county owns the east half of the road, so we have to get both in our five-year plan and their five-year plan, and as of right now, they have not been willing to look at any improvements to it. But we will be seal coating it again this year, and if we do see any depressions, rutting that's going on, which we've had on Indiana and a couple other areas, we'll go beyond just the typical seal code to address that.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
If you could get the county to play, you'd like to make it a better road.
We will need to eventually.
Eventually, it'll come. Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.
My name's Marcus Needham. Had two questions. First is the roads. Will there be any connection in the future to the lots then to the south, more towards Crow Creek? And number two, there's a fence line currently in the field there on the west end of that where those lots wrap around. Is the fence line kind of the property line, or is it further than that? And I guess I have a third question. When do we plan on developing that, starting development on this?
Do we have a representative of the developer or their engineer? Okay.
The only question I can probably answer to that would be connectivity to the south. That is why the stub has been shown south to eventually tie into Woody Creek Lane and the old Hunter Woods addition. Thanks, Greg, if you could point that out.
We would
eventually have a connection to the south there. Ryan, I don't know if you could answer the timeline or the property line question.
Ryan Fick with Mel Foster Company, and we plan to do the northern half this year, so in this construction period.
So the northern half, that would be the lots north and south of Megan Drive then?
Correct.
Okay. And you said in calendar 19 then?
Yes.
All right, great. And then the fence question, do you have an answer on that by chance? He had asked a question about a fence to the west and whether that was the property line. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know. We've got a detention that separates that cul-de-sac on the west side and then those lots that butt up to it on the east side. So I'm not sure where that fence line is that you're talking about. So it's probably right around that, yeah.
At some point, you'll likely be staking all the lots, though, right?
Correct.
Yep.
No further questions. Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks, Marcus. Okay. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Yep. Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case 19-012, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 19-012, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 19-012 is approved. Okay. That would take us to 19-018. John, if there's any updates since publication.
I don't. Do you have anything?
No, nothing. No changes.
Okay, then Greg, go ahead if you would, please.
Mr. Chairman, this site can be reached from Spruce Hills Drive up Utica Ridge Road. It's anticipated, again, we'll have that private drive access. Utica Hills Place being the means of entry to this site. And this is a replatting. We have this area, which is still C6 right here. And then we have the C3 right here. And two separate lot designations. And this is Utica Hills Point right now. This is an existing lot of record. This is a meets and bounds parcel. These two will be joined. The meets and bounds is C3. This is C6. Parking is the only thing anticipated to be in this area. The building and the structure itself is going to be on the C3 zone parcel. And this is the concept. All access will be cut off here directly onto Utica Ridge. Everything will be channeled through this private drive, Utica Ridge Place, and the idea was to clean up and make sure that there was a clear plat and also the restrictions on these lots as to access, making this access point, that was cleaned up, and that the property, at least at this time, to facilitate the transfer of it, this platting is going through as is. That doesn't mean in the future that the whole thing may not become zoned in the C3 class, but as right now, the parking is permitted in C6. The building and structure, the use itself, is C3 oriented. And staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend your approval with the conditions in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thanks, Greg. Questions or comments? Sorry, from the commission. So, Greg, one question I have. You mentioned the one lot is a meets and bounds, and we've got that flag lot, and then potentially looking at combining the zoning under C3, and would that be a replat then of one single lot at that point as well, too?
You wouldn't necessarily have to do that. There would just be an agreement not to sever that could be recorded with the Recorder of Deeds office, and that would suffice to make sure that these lots are kept with one another. Given the parking arrangement, you will want to keep these lots joined. I mean,
sure.
He could have the option to replat if you'd like. It's not obligatory.
Nor would the rezoning be a requirement either. I mean, parking's allowed on C6. The access is just going to be immensely better up at
intersection. That's a mess over there.
We're very pleased to see that. We had always hoped that that's how this would develop.
Yeah. Others on the commission?
I would just agree. I'm very glad to see the access points cut off.
Yeah.
And it's happening now.
Right.
While all the other development's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, anyone in the audience with regard to this particular case? Okay, no one in the audience. I'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval case number 19-018, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Thank you. For case 19-018, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. 19-018 is approved. Okay, that takes us to 19-014 and probably 15 together. Are they the same? I can't remember. Well, let's do it. 14 and 15 are together, yes. Any updates on that, Jen?
Well, there's a lot going on with the combination of these two cases. Perhaps if Greg wanted to do his report first, if we need to do any clarification afterwards, we'd be glad to.
Mr. Chairman, this is Middle Road right here, and this is Forest Grove Drive right here. Middle Road continuation up north, and then I-80 running through this area. This area being reconsidered for rezoning, and Lot 5 of the proposed plat for the site plan is all zone C3 at the present. This is the original plat from the Betplex first edition, showing lots 5 and 6 that are going to become platted as Betplex third edition. This is the outline essentially of the subdivision. And you do have these lots that are being platted anew and boundaries being changed. And we'll be looking at this lot for the site plan. Right here, this is the area for the office that's being anticipated for a rental car agency education center. Got the means of access entering in off of Forest Grove Drive. The building is right here, and there's sufficient parking. Utilities to the site will come from the north as well as coming from the south along Forest Grove Drive to the structure. You have a detention basin, which is somewhat regional because it will be for this subdivision, and that's included in this area here. This is the building as it will look on site, and essentially facing to the west, the east, and this is the building, I should say probably the way the building is oriented on the site plan, that these might be to the west and the east, and this right. will be. Mm-hmm. And the landscaping met our requirements. The only thing we always ask is that no landscaping be placed within an easement area. They surpassed the requirements necessary for that, and staff, in looking at this proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thanks, Greg. And then any further comments from you, John?
As you had always anticipated this entire development up there, I think what you're going to see at total build-out is a lot of interconnectivity going on with all of these developments. And this is just another piece in that puzzle. This was very desirable for the training center, regional office, in the close proximity to the hotel that's going up. They believe that they'll be going back and forth between the hotel and this training center, and then after the training sessions during the day, going to the restaurants up on the site. So the platting documents
and then
anticipate.
Get a tennis game in.
Pardon me, sir?
And then get a tennis game in.
And then, well, you can do everything up inside
right,
the
right,
sports
good.
Complex. And then the platting, just the interconnectivity is built right into it. It's just exactly what you had kind of hoped that development might look like in the future.
Well, and that's would be my first question as I look at the site plan and that concept of interconnectivity, and I don't see it interconnecting at this point to anything to the mm-hmm. to the west. So I would say maybe just simple question, why is it not connecting or showing a future connection to something to the west? Yes. For inner site flow or whatever moniker we want to give that. And just for the record, Kevin, you're usually last on the agenda, and you're moving up in the world. So
middle. I'll take middle.
Congratulations. Yeah.
I'll take middle. We tried to get that connectivity, but they are actually buying this site, and Enterprise did not want the traffic through on the front of the building there from the west. Since we've got the detention pond, we kind of see all of that, the lots north of that, flowing out to the west or the north anyway, so we were okay with that. But like John said, everything with them and that shared access road will flow back over to the east.
So there's no connection to the north?
Not at this time. With this lot? No. No.
Okay. So that access drive won't go all the way through?
Right, because they didn't want, which I agree with, they don't want Betplex people flying through.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So we're trying to get people going here east and connecting to the other roads that are in place already.
Okay, that makes sense.
There is a pedestrian connection,
yes.
However, shown north-south.
Okay. Right.
Lot
good.
Two.
Yep.
So with all these new lots in here, Lot 5 is going to have access to the road, and it will
when you
interconnect.
Say the road, you're talking Forest Grove or?
Yes, Forest Grove. And then it, I guess I'm looking at how many points of access are there going to be for these lots on Forest Grove. Will this be the only one?
One more, I would expect, one more.
One more?
Mm-hmm. And we'll probably split that on the next lot line east.
Six. Bear with me, we're just going to put the pieces together a little bit. Four, five. I get what you're saying, Kevin, with the detention area there. That would be the natural place for that interior frontage access road to go, and it doesn't flow through there with the detention where it's at.
Right.
Okay.
So if we look at this whole original lot 5 and 6 area, if we count Friendship Path, which is the access road, it's already there, to the west, and then Championship Drive on the east. Now we're going to add a point of access for lot 5, and then another point of access for 3 and 4.
Yeah, potentially that's what I would expect.
Between them.
How do we feel about that many points of access?
One more would be allowable.
One more.
Yeah,
okay.
We would not be able to allow access to both 3 and 4, and actually I think we probably need to
so
get
just
a
four.
Note into the plat stating that.
That's fine.
Or it goes to council.
Okay.
And then we'd like to connect east so we tie to the curb cut between the hotel and the western retail building that's out there now.
A lot of moving pieces.
Mm-hmm. Okay, questions from others in the commission or comments? Where's their trash, Kevin? Does that come in from the side, or where is that?
Did you say dumpster, like trash dumpster?
Will this have a dumpster?
Yeah, I don't. Missman or IMEG didn't put that on there, but it will. I would assume it would be on the east side. They have a patio off the northeast corner of the building, so either there or in the northwest corner of the parking lot, there's a dead corner in there. We might put it in there. We're drastically overparked, so if we had to take a stall out over there, we might do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Okay. We'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval, case 19014, subject to staff recommendations. Oh, yeah, one at a time, then we have another one.
Yep.
I'll second.
Okay, thanks. We have a motion and a second to approve case 19014, Betplex Third Edition, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 19014 is approved.
Okay, so that was the replat. I'll move for approval of case 19015, the site development plan, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we're on a roll with you guys. Good. We have a motion and a second to approve case 19015, site development plan. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 19015 is approved. Okay, great. Thanks. Which takes us to 19016, Jen. Well, thanks. Okay, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, this is a proposed site for a commercial building along 53rd Avenue. And you enter in through here, Ontario Drive. The means of access is going to be from Ontario Drive. It'll be addressed, though, from 53rd Avenue. It is lot 4 of the Shops of the Woodlands, which has already been platted. You've already had another development site plan approval with the adjoining lot. Means of access, again, off of Ontario. And then you have your parking area throughout. You have a connection point here. And you have utilities mainly coming off of this direction in Ontario to the site. Stormwater will be taken care of on a regional basis. This is the way the structure will look, the different units within the structure. The parking is sufficient, meeting our requirements. And again, the landscaping met our code requirements. Again, we only ask that the landscaping be maintained out of the easement areas. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions in the report. I would ask if there are any questions.
Thanks, Greg. Questions from or comments from the commission, please?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Greg, I think it shows a public walkway, a sidewalk on the, I guess that would be the north side. And I'm reading that as 5 foot. Is that acceptable?
I don't know what we have in the CIP for that one. I thought it would be 6 feet at minimum.
That's kind of what I thought, too. And I'm reading 5, but, I mean, it's very fuzzy on my screen, so.
It's showing 5 foot. We may need to go back and check to see what the adjacent lot would be. We probably should be putting in a 6-footer there where we pick up the difference above the minimum required. So we'll work with the developer on that one.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there no bike path width on the south side of 53rd? Then it's only in the north side?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Good catch, Paul. Yeah. Wow. Double pay today.
He's earning your pay.
Give him another water.
Hey, yeah.
Okay. Anyone else with the commission on this one? Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope. Okay. Come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve case number 19-016, subject to staff recommendations.
Okay, thank you.
Second.
Thanks. We have a motion and a second to approve case 19-016, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 19-016 is approved. And just a side note, it's looking real nice. I saw somebody read out there somewhere. There he is. Ryan, sorry. It's looking real nice out there, the design of the buildings and everything. It's given a real good look to 53rd Street there, so thanks. Yep. Okay, that takes us to 19-016. Oh, that was this one, 19-017.
Mr. Chairman, this is the lot for what is proposed as a site for Black Hawk Bank. It's lot number 2, the Shops of the Woodlands. It's easy entry directly off of 53rd Avenue and then down into Ontario Drive. Building is located right here. Means of access and stacking in the interior to allow people to use the drive up right there. The parking was diminished from an earlier design we had because they substantially met the parking beyond the requirements, so we didn't feel the need that they had to include all of that in this design. This is the way the building will look, the structure. You can see a vaulted roof and then a single story pretty much. The landscape plan met all the requirements. We would again ask that everything be contained in the easement area. Also, there's a tree, I believe, right up here. Maybe it's a little bit off into our right-of-way, but other than that, we looked at this, and having gone over it enough times, we felt that it met our requirements with the conditions that were listed in the report, and we make a recommendation for approval, and I would ask if there are any questions.
Okay, thanks, Greg. Any questions or comments from the commission?
Another nice-looking building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a couple, Greg. One on this particular slide, the sidewalk, does that dip down for pedestrian traffic to come in, or is there an ATM there?
This is, I believe, for bike traffic. Potentially, there is a bike rack right up
there,
here.
Yeah.
So it can be used, I guess, for pedestrian if someone wanted to, but there is a bike rack as well for that rec trail.
Okay, and will there be a 24-hour ATM? And I'm just wondering logistically, where would that be and where would people park and pull up and visibility and security?
That's something the representative would have to describe. I don't know if someone...
On the north end. I see it.
Hello, Chris Townsend, Townsend Engineering. Yes, there is an ATM, and it's on the north side of the drive-through. It's the most northerly lane.
Okay. So good visibility and everything out there, good, like that. Yep. Okay. Yeah, nice flow and everything. Yes, sir.
Hi, Ryan Andreessen with Russell. Just to clarify on that swoop down sidewalk, that's a alternate arrangement for a bike, you know, path and storage. So we'll see if it's cost effective, if we're within budget. So then maybe we can do that.
If you got money left over, it gets put in. Okay.
Right.
Because that happens. Yeah.
Is there a trash enclosure or dumpster on this site?
Yeah, there's a dumpster enclosure right as you pull in on right there.
Oh, right there. Are those parking spaces? Oh, over
no,
there.
Right there. It's a little square
there.
Box.
Somebody numbered it's down there.
Yeah.
It's not there.
Oh, it is. It was all there.
Okay, good. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Back to the commission then.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case, I think it's 19-017, site development plan subject to staff recommendations.
I will second that.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 19-017 subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 19-017 is approved. And I would again footnote, nice looking development, nice flow. Appreciate the effort there. So, okay. That then takes us to commission update, which is in 2 points, recommendation for increased required setbacks for multifamily. Mr. John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. I want to thank you for the time that you gave for the two workshops that we held combined with the commission and the city council. Heard Chris make a comment today and I felt exactly the same, that after the first one our heads were spinning just a little bit from a staff perspective. After we had the second one, I thought it was rather productive and we came away at least with some directions that you might want us to go. At that second meeting, we showed you an example for potential increasing of setbacks for multifamily residential as they got higher. That original concept, the idea was for every additional story above one, that the front setback on principal arterials, minor arterials, and collector streets, that they would be set back an additional 10 feet for each additional story. After we had that workshop, I then went to the Home Builders Association and made a presentation to them as to some, just wanted to give them an update of what some of the feelings were coming out of the workshop. My proposal for that additional 10 feet was summarily not well received. However, there was at least two of the developers, and they were the ones that did the multifamily, quite frankly, that said, well, perhaps you could limit that to just, you know, your major arterials, and that's kind of what we're presenting to you here this evening. And would there be a consideration that maybe make it an additional 5 feet instead of the additional 10 feet? I then went back to the original zoning ordinance that we had and it actually had in there, although it wasn't a front setback, but it had the additional 5 feet for every additional story, but they were for separation internally. But I think coming out of the workshop, the feeling is you want the setback from our streets where we're seeing these developments so that this big wall of a building that might be as much as 100 feet long looks like a great wall against the major streets. So what I'm presenting to you this evening is we would keep the setbacks for single family and duplexes just as we have. I don't think anybody felt that there was any problems with those types of structures. But for multifamily, that anything above one story would be set back an additional 5 feet for each additional story along principal, minor arterials, collector streets, as identified in our transportation plan. Greg, if you'd go to the next slide, please, page down. This gives you an idea of what that would look like. So a single story building would be just as it can be built today, and quite frankly, under the old ordinance at the 25-foot setback. If it goes another story higher, it has to be set back to 30, three stories to 35, and then eventually I think we have to come up with some type of a maximum. I mean, we don't want to make lots completely undevelopable. We saw throughout the comparisons that we showed you with the other communities that 45 or 50 foot maximum setback seemed to be rather universal throughout the state. So before we go and actually start making a proposed ordinance change to the city council, I wanted to get your feedback on what your thoughts are.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the second meeting, so there may have been some discussion along this line. I'm also looking at when we Paul talked earlier tonight about multifamily as a buffer. So not only do we have the street setback, but then what's behind that multifamily.
And that's a good point. Perhaps before we proceed to the city council, we would add in something. If you have a multifamily development, and regardless of whether it's a front setback or rear setback, if whatever is adjacent to it is a lesser intense zoning district, that we would have some type of increases in that separation as well.
And then how would that work if I'm building multifamily and the property behind is still zoned A1 and hasn't been developed yet, but potentially could be single family? You know, if the multifamily goes, you can't plan for every contingency, but.
Sure. The problem seems to have come in when the single family has developed first.
And the multifamily.
And then this multifamily moves next door.
Right.
Where if it's in place at first, the developers at the adjacent property seem to be taking that into consideration when they consider how they're going to develop their land. And no, I don't know how we anticipate.
You can't.
You can't.
To follow along that train of thought, if you have single-family homes already in place that have a 30-foot setback from the road, and you come in with multifamily homes that are three stories high, I don't think that adding 5 feet back further from the 30-foot setback of the single-family homes is going to offer much ease or comfort. You know, I don't think it's going to be any. You're not going to even notice 5 feet. I think it really needs to be for a three story, it should be 10 feet more. It should be 40-foot setback, not 35.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think also you had examples from other cities that at three stories it went to 40 feet. If they can do it, why can't we? I mean, are we second-class cities, you know, because we can't afford 35 feet?
Bendorf is a premier city. We know,
you know
that.
We should be able to do a 40-foot setback.
That's the whole reason I wanted to bring this for you. And I said that I was going to go to the developers, and we were just trying to find a middle ground that you would all be comfortable with, but perhaps you're not comfortable with that. And
did we max it out at 40 when we were talking about it initially, or did we go?
We didn't talk about a maximum. All the other cities, am I right, Greg? They all had a maximum, and I believe most of them were 45 or 50.
Yes, yeah, some of them depended on the location, again, of where they were relative to a major arterial or something of that nature.
There was some.
There was a variety of setbacks.
There was one community that was almost bizarre. For each additional story, they wanted you to put it back one more foot. and it was just like, you know.
What's the point?
Yeah, really. What's the point? So that's why I'm coming before you this evening. What are your thoughts before we proceed to go before the city council on this? And this is just one issue. This is the one that I think is up front most in our face collectively. Mm-hmm. And I want to move on this one first. Staff has supplied the city attorney with, what now, Chris, 2-3 lists of things that we're going to be asking. We'll bring those before you as we do.
And I think it might be best if we bring this back to the commission for a formal recommendation with the actual ordinance. Take any sort of comments we get here tonight, and perhaps at our next meeting have the language
and approvable
and have in a form that
so
in,
this in the feedback you're giving us tonight would enable us to do that.
Yep.
We didn't want these workshops to take place and end. We wanted that to be the beginning point, and that's where we're at tonight.
So maybe I'm stating the obvious in this one, but I'm feeling like we're responding in particular to one elephant in the room that popped up on Middle Road, which I won't specifically reference more than that. But we do have a poster child of how it can go wrong that we're all seeing as we drive up and down Middle Road. And I don't want to overshoot to fix something, but that really, and if you drive in there, it'll to me reinforce the need to have interior increases as well as front setback
and rear.
I think the whole thing needs to spread out as it rises up. So I personally would prefer to see something that opens it up as it raises up, because when you look in the particular elephant, you can barely back out, and the sun won't shine because of angles of buildings on some aspects of that, but a few hours a day, and they really need to be farther back. So I would suggest that this be not limited to the front yard, that it go all yards, essentially, that the setback requirement increases with the elevation on all corners or all sides. That would be one. And maybe from a negotiating standpoint, I wish there was something we could visualize in almost a 3D in proportion that says, okay, three of these units equals one of these, and what does it really look like when you're visualizing it? Because I do like the 10 myself. That feels like it's more comfortable. Five is certainly too tight. Still, it's not enough. Split the difference in negotiating. Is 7.5 enough? I don't know. But I would be inclined to look more towards the 10, to Paul's point. And Janessa, I think we do want the city to look better. We do want these things to be more attractive to tenants. It'll enhance the market value, the livability of it. And I understand the developer side, where you want to get the most you can on your footprint, but don't shoot yourself in the foot to do it, developer, and don't let the city shoot themselves in the foot. So it may be a little strong, but I think more is better here in this case.
I think you also have to look at, you know, what do we have around the area, in our town? If you look at some of the other bigger developments, there's plenty of room off the road. I mean, I'm looking at, they're not 3 and 4 story, but like Chateau Knoll, look at that. There's a lot of room off of Middle Road before you start hitting those buildings.
And air between them.
Same with the Springs.
Air between us. That's right.
That's pretty new.
Nicely done. Yeah.
And there's a lot of units there, but
Pheasant Hill is another one. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of units there, but they're set back off of the corner. There's space. And if you look at what was developed later, they're right on Devil's Glen. So something, somewhere along the line, maybe our philosophy's changed or something. But I think we need to step back and say, maybe a minimum free space area in the development, you know, open space.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, why we add X amount per mm-hmm. story.
Yeah.
Because a one-story building doesn't give you that wall feeling.
No.
At a 25-foot setback. A three-story building, especially one that's over 100 feet long, gives you a wall feeling.
And maybe that's another thing, is you say these buildings can't be more than, you know, 60 foot long before you break them up and set them, change the setbacks or something. You know, instead of having some long expanse, maybe you say the most you can have is whatever, some number that says, okay, that's the longest that unit can be. Your next unit has to be separated, and then maybe you can vary the setback or something. I don't know, but these monolithic walls are not what we want.
Can we start with one issue? The setback? I at least got a gut feeling here that the consensus was go right back to the 10 per additional story.
Mm-hmm. More is better, I think.
And then, as Chris said, we can discuss these other issues and bring them back to you additionally.
So just addressing the front setback or side and rear as well?
I think you wanted something. If you're adjacent to a lesser zoning district, you wanted some separation there too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Especially residential.
Oh well, and this is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. If you're adjacent to a commercial district.
You're not gonna hear.
Yeah, I think we can bring something back for you next week, next month.
Okay. Yeah. Concept is great and necessary and.
I just wanted to address the elephant in the room first.
Well,
first out of the chute.
And I will say, anecdotally, I get more comments from people that know that I
am
involved with the plan and zone about those buildings on Middle Road and how the heck did that happen. It's created an opportunity to address a need
for
that.
Improvement. Yeah.
Yeah. The door's open and we gotta change that.
There's a couple of elephants on Tanglewood too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give you a heads up.
Those aren't as bad.
I think you'll have a pretty full council room when we do this. I want you to know that.
That's fine.
Okay. And I think I would like the opportunity to communicate to the developers in a. To me, it's always better if you understand the why, and the why from my perspective and the city's perspective from my view is we want it to be better. We want it to be premier, and. I understand, again, I used to do this for a living, the economics of the space and the dollars and the constraints, but if you build a better mousetrap, they will come to it, and I don't think you will suffer at all in the long run. I think people want something that's better and not jammed in like sardines. So.
This is a response.
Mm-hmm.
This is a response to something. So.
And I think we want our multifamily, I think it's mainly multifamily we're talking about. We want our multifamily to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You
don't like the stapled on stone?
Huh?
I said you don't like the stapled on stone and the multicolor vinyl? That's really surprises
me. Just buy bigger land. Buy more land.
Chris, Greg and Chris and I will work on trying to word an ordinance for you for this.
Appreciate
for next
that.
Month.
Thanks, John.
Good. Thank you. And that gives us city council update then, Jen.
February 5th, the council approved the site development plan for the Quickstar at 977 Utica Ridge Place. They also approved the final plat of Wyndham West 3rd Edition. As you'll recall, that was simply replatting three lots into two larger lots. They approved the final plat of Wyndham Hill 7th Edition. That was the platting of the eight lots on the east end of East Bourne Avenue. And then, as Greg earlier stole my thunder, last night they approved the final reading for the rezonings at Glenbrook Ridge Edition to urban medium intensity. So after the final plat is approved by you and the city council, they'll be able to start bringing you that mixed development concepts to you.
Okay. And I saw they broke ground on the Dunkin' Donuts site. That started clearing
site development.
Then it started snowing, and it kept snowing, and it kept snowing.
Yes, yes, yes. The year, you know, in China, they have the year of whatever. In Iowa, this is going to be the year of the cold and snow.
Yes.
Yeah, so, all right, anything else for the good of the order here? If not, we're adjourned. Thanks.